A reading from Ezekiel. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and the great spirit and tradition of the holiday beg us to pause and give thanks and praise for all of our many blessings. Yes, I know it seems odd to think of blessings in a year like this. But we must remember that when Lincoln issued his Thanksgiving Proclamation in 1863, it was in the midst of a civil war which would ultimately take the lives of 600,000 people, mostly young and still in their prime. Yet there was nonetheless the proclamation and the observing of the day. And the day still stands, and it will always stand. For we are to give thanks in all circumstances, the good book says. And this is God's will for us in every year and every season of the years. And that is why I will never forget that Sunday back in 2015 when I showed up here as simply a visitor on the Sunday before Thanksgiving and bowed my head as Pastor Fran Patterson led the congregation in the prayer of thanksgiving, just a month after she had lost her beloved husband, Alan. As I listened to Fran's prayer that day, I was so deeply moved by the pastoral act. And I thought immediately of the text, the pastor and author of the hymn, Amazing Grace, John Newton, preached on the occasion of his own wife Mary's funeral. Words from the prophet Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Give thanks for a little and you will find a lot, the proverb says. And it's true. And so are the words of the old Sunday night hymn. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Now, if you don't know those words, it's because your parents didn't make you have to go to church on Sunday nights. And that may be a blessing to count also, perhaps. Though, in a year like this, maybe we can better appreciate all those times we took being together for granted. And certainly we can give thanks for all of those songs and hymns and spiritual songs which we can't sing now in the sanctuary, but we have taken with us into the exile and are keeping alive even in Babylon. For these things, rich blessings which fill our hearts wherever we are, we indeed give thanks. We give thanks in all seasons and all circumstances. It is God's will for us. And it is God's will for us in this season and in these circumstances. So may this year's pumpkin pie taste just a little sweeter. And may the prayer of thanksgiving last just a little longer. For in spite of all circumstances, we are still a blessed people. Therefore, as Lincoln said, let us not forget the source from which all of these blessings do flow. And let us not forget either that there was more to Lincoln's proclamation than just a commendation for a day of thanksgiving in 1863. There was also a kind of plea for America, an admission of its sins, and an entreating of God's almighty hand for the healing of its wounds. And so then Lincoln closed the proclamation with a prayer for the restoration of the nation, that we might know, in his words, the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. That was a good prayer in 1863. And it is a good prayer 77 years later. For surely here in 2020, we could stand the enjoyment of a little peace, harmony, tranquility, and union now ourselves. And truly, if it is to happen in our nation, then it must first happen in ourselves, in our souls. If it is to take place in the heart of America, then it has to first take place in the hearts of Americans. And in a country where the majority of people share our faith, it must take place in the hearts of Christians also. I was profoundly reminded of this in a Zoom conversation I had on Thursday with Bishop Malkas Tsongalishvili, whose Gori Soup Kitchen will be the beneficiary of this year's Broadway World Hunger offering. The soup kitchen was begun after the Republic of Georgia was invaded by Russia and remains a place of refuge for the poorest of the poor in that war-torn country. And its sponsoring church, the Bishop's Peace Cathedral in Tbilisi, remains a sign of peace even amidst all of the turmoil and violence which have befallen both the land and its people. In our conversation, which I strongly encourage you to watch, I asked Malkas about where it is that his inner strength and power and moral vision for reconciliation come from. He told about going to visit the community at Taizé, France, in 2005, just after its visionary founder, Brother Roger, was tragically murdered there. Another member of the community told Malkas that the brothers were learning to forgive by seeking to put into practice what Brother Roger himself had taught them. He had said, "We have to learn to love our enemies in our hearts first. For," he said, "if we can't love them in our hearts, how can we love them in the world?" 3 years later, the Republic of Georgia was invaded by Russia. And Malkas wondered how he could dare to love these Russian invaders who had raped and pillaged some of the villages of his own people. But then Malkas had a dream. And in the dream, Vladimir Putin was standing before him. And Malkas looked at Mr. Putin in the eyes and saw that he was afraid. And then turning to him, eye to eye, Malchus began to say to him, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And as Malchus said these things in his dream, Mr. Putin grew smaller and smaller and smaller until Malchus said he was small enough that I could reach out my arms and embrace him. Perfect love casts out all fear, St. John said. And we are called to love as perfectly and as fearlessly as we possibly can. First in our hearts and then in the world. Now it must be said, loving a wrongdoer does not mean condoning their wrongdoing. That's the meaning of this Reign of Christ Sunday. The promise that there will come a day when all of the Putins of this world will have to stand before the true ruler of this universe. And as the prophet Ezekiel's reading said this morning, he will strengthen the weak, but the strong and the fat he will serve with justice. So be it. But we must never confuse our vengeance with God's justice. In fighting the beast, we must not allow ourselves to become beasts. And that is why, even while the Civil War was still raging, in another famous speech of Lincoln's, on the occasion of his own second inaugural, he humbly and graciously offered us these now immortal words to take to heart as well. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God has given us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, and to do all which we may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The sun shines over the righteous and also the unrighteous. And we are to be like God, working and praying for the blessing of all people everywhere, that they might come to know the lasting peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his love, which casts out all fear, all ways. It's Thanksgiving, friends. It's a time for counting our blessings. for counting them one by one. It's a time for seeing what God has done. And it's a time for seeing what we ourselves can do to bind up this nation's wounds, repair its breaches, mend its flaws, and help make more possible our full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. So may God give us hearts of gratitude and grace, even in this year of tribulation. And may we dare to live into the immeasurable goodness of all that we've been blessed to receive as both congregation and nation. And may this bounteous God, through all our life, be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and make us full of charity for all as well. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all. Amen.